If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 28. I'm going to read two verses of Scripture there. Part of this I started last week, and some of you wasn't here, and I'm almost a year older, and so I can't remember where I stopped and started anyway. Just wait, you'll get there. You'll understand what I'm talking about. Genesis chapter 28, verses 15 and 16. I want to continue with cultivating an awareness of God's presence. Pray this morning, asking God to anoint my lips of clay, anoint our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, and that the Holy Spirit just come by and rejuvenate us and touch us and help us to grasp what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us today. Verse 15 of chapter 28 said, "Behold, I am with thee," God speaking to Jacob, "and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, and I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken unto thee of." Listen, I read that several times, and the Holy Ghost just grabbed a hold of that. When he said, "I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken unto thee." Do you realize that Jesus said, "I'm coming back after you, and he will not leave you. He's going to be with you until he comes back and gets you and takes you home with him." It ain't finished. It ain't over. He's not done. And he's not going to leave you until then. Like what he told Jacob, and like what he said at the cross. He said, "It is finished." He finished our salvation. Listen to me closely. He finished our salvation on the cross. Can somebody say amen? Amen. But he told his disciples, "I'm coming back." And he's still with us until he does come back, and he has finished that work. You can rest assured, just as he completed all the other things through the Scripture that he said he would do, he's coming back after his church. The important thing is you're ready. And the blood is supplied to your heart. And Jacob waked up out of his sleep, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." Father God, I ask you once again, Lord, that you will anoint these lips of clay, anoint our ears to hear, our hearts to receive. I pray, oh God, that you will arrest us by the Holy Ghost, Lord. And I pray that you will bring us into a place, Lord, with a relationship with you like we've never been before. We ask you in these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. To cultivate, and again, I'm going to repeat some of the things I said last week and add some things as well. But to cultivate means to prepare for use. Prepare for use. We are to cultivate our spirit man so that we may hear what God is saying simply by a nudge, and that he can use us for his glory. To cultivate is to prepare for use, like to make the ground ready to receive seed or receive moisture. It is also to acquire or to develop, such as our mind and our body, to perceive a particular task. David said, now Jacob said, "God surely was in this place and I didn't even know it." And David said, "I will always keep my eyes on the Lord. I am always aware of God's presence. He is near and nothing can shake me." I'm here to tell you, church, in this hour that we're living in right now, there's a lot of things that can shake you. There's a lot of fear that's trying to be instilled in the hearts and lives of people. There's a lot of confusion. There's so much junk in our world today, it is hard to know which end is up. But I am coming to encourage you and to tell you today, we've got to be exactly like David and stay in the presence of the Lord and know that he is near and not allow anything to shake us. I emphasized 2 weeks ago about an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Today, even more strongly, I want to emphasize to you about a consistent awareness and building that relationship of the presence of the Almighty God. Please, please pay close attention to me today. It's not what I'm saying, but it's what the Holy Spirit is saying to our hearts and our lives today. But understand, if we're not aware of His consistent presence, we will never have an intimate relationship with Him. We must learn to cultivate an awareness. There's so many voices today. There's so much that we have to cipher through. But the most important thing we must be aware of is the presence of God in our hearts and our lives. Come on, you can amen me better now. I'm here to touch your heart. I'm here to help you. I'm here to lift you up. Like so many lives, like Jacob was on the fast track. He had so many things to do. Even you and I, we don't stop and try to listen to what the voice of God is trying to tell us. That there's so much out there in our world today, as I've already said. We're preoccupied with life. We go to church, we're making a living. But when we wake up from our sleep, our thoughts are kind of like Jacob. Surely the Lord was in this place. The Lord is in this place. And we wasn't even aware of it. I thank God that we're here today to worship Him and to praise Him. The presence of God is in this place. But He didn't just show up. He is here already. He was waiting on you. Unlike David, Jacob, unlike David, he said, I will keep my eyes upon the Lord and I'm not going to allow anything to shake us. Let me tell you, and I'm going to repeat myself again in my notes, but right now, let me tell you that God did not give us a spirit of fear. And God is not the author of confusion. We must learn to listen to the voice of God. Every human being was so engineered by God that the presence of the Creator within the creature, and we are that creature, is absolutely necessary for our humanity. What He's simply saying is when He breathed in our nostrils a breath of life, we became a living soul. It is absolutely necessary for who we are. Who we are. God created us as clay vessels. And when He breathed into us the breath of life, He breathed His presence back into us, His supreme creation, and we became that living soul. He came so that we might allow the light to shine in us and through us. He come. Jesus Christ came all the way from heaven to live among us as a man so that He might let His light shine through us. Again, Jacob was so busy and preoccupied that he failed to recognize God's voice and cultivate an awareness of God's presence. So how do we do that? How do we cultivate that? How do we get to a place? Well, maybe 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 gives us some insight on that. For it says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord, that He may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ." Let me read that again. Who has known the mind of Christ, or the mind of the Lord, that He may instruct us? It's those who have the mind of Christ. Hello? So, what does that mean? It simply means that the indwelling Christ can think His thoughts through us. That's how close we need to get to Him. Hello? You say, well, I don't want to get so heavenly minded I'm no earthly good. Don't worry about that. You don't have to worry about that. We need to get so full of Jesus, and we need to be so close to Him and so aware of His presence that He thinks His thoughts through us. So that you will feel reassured. You will have a sense of guidance. You will feel the conviction when sin happens to inhabit you. It means that God is present with you. Can I tell you today, church, we must learn to pay attention. We must learn to honor. We must learn to respond to Him. You are walking and living in His presence. We've simply got to be aware of that. We must be sensitive to His nudge, like pursuing your sweetheart. In our day and time, that's hard to perceive. After 47 years, 2 weeks ago, Sister Diane and I celebrated our 47th year anniversary. I'm honest with you as I can be. I want to be closer to her right now than I have when we was first married. Number one, I can't run as fast as I used to. I sincerely love her more today than I did when we first met. And you wouldn't believe where we first met. I was putting out bologna in the grocery store when she walked by. You won't miss that one. But that's the same way it is with following Jesus Christ. If you're not closer and more in love with Him today than you was the first day you come to Him, you got some serious issues. You need to go back to the altar and get it resolved. We need Jesus more today than we did yesterday. I told Sister Diane, if you ever decide to leave me after this many years, pack me a bag because I'm going with you. I'm here to tell you, church, we've got to create and cultivate an awareness of God's presence. It's absolutely necessary in the hour that we're living in. We've got to be sensitive to His nudge. I shared with you about as the Bible reveals God's deepest desire to be in fellowship with His creation. Do you all really understand that? He desires to be in fellowship with you greater than you do at your moment that you need Him the most. He desires to have that relationship with you in a greater intensity than you can ever imagine. We must hunger after Him and have that same relationship we did when we knelt at the altar and we repented of our sins and asked Him to come to our hearts and our lives. God always takes the initiative by His grace to draw us back into a personal friendship and relationship with Him. That's the mercy and the grace of God. I mentioned to you last week, have you ever heard anyone say, well, I'm sure glad he showed up for church today. Well, I don't know what happened, but he wasn't there in our service. I'm here to tell you he's here. He's here. God is omnipresent. That means he's everywhere all at the same time. Aren't you glad we serve a God like that? He is omnipotent. That means he is all powerful. There ain't nothing too big for him and there ain't nothing too small that he's not concerned about. He's omnipotent, which means he is all-knowing. He knows even before you have a need. But he is telling you to ask. And when we ask of him, he hears our prayers. He wants to know you recognize that you have a need. If we never recognize we have a need, we won't know what to do anything about it. Listen, folks, I want you to understand. Your pastors are not the Holy Ghost. I said this last week. I got to say it again. We are not your Holy Ghost. We're not your Holy Spirit. We are there to pray with you and to help you. But we are not your Holy Spirit. You must start to cultivate an awareness to know and hear God's presence for yourself at every moment you're awake or asleep. It's your responsibility. I can't always be there. Mama can't always be there. Your spouse can't always be there. You've got to cultivate an awareness of the presence of God and hear His voice. Amen. I want to take just a few minutes, if I could this morning, maybe a little bit longer in a few minutes. So if you need to stand and stretch your legs, go ahead and do it. Just keep your mind on what the Spirit's saying to us today, okay? Amen, Brother Mike. I'm just telling you. Get ready. It may be a little lengthy, but it'll be good for you. Okay? I want to take a few moments and give you some examples of different individuals in the Bible who missed God's presence. In Numbers chapter 22, Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the prince of Moab. The reason he left and the reason he went is because they had promised him a reward for cursing Israel. And God had already spoke to him three different times, "You cannot curse that which I have blessed." But he had too much going for himself, he thought, of a reward. So he had his own mind made up. And because of that, he could not hear the Spirit of God. Hello? But when God was very angry when he went and the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him, the reason God was angry is because he already told him, don't go. Balaam was riding on his donkey and his two servants was with him. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his drawn sword in his hand, she turned off of the road into a field. Balaam beat her to get her back on the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between two vineyards and with walls on both sides. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, he pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it. So he beat her again. Then the angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn, neither to the right nor to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam, and he was angry and beat her with his staff. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth and said unto Balaam, what have I done to you to make you beat me these three times? Balaam answered the donkey. Get that picture. You have made a fool of me. If I had a sword in my hand, I'd kill you right now. The donkey said to Balaam, am I not your own donkey, which you have always ridden? To this day, have I been in the habit of doing this? Balaam goes, no, you haven't. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road and his sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell face down. Are you ready? Balaam's biggest problem was himself. His will and his desire overshadowed God's presence. Hello? His self-will and his own desire overshadowed God's presence. It is something blows my mind that Balaam was so distracted by his own agenda that he argued with his donkey, but couldn't recognize God's presence. So what's distracting you? Are you talking to your donkey? Or is your self-will getting in the way? Are you allowing so many things in your life to distract you that you can't hear and see God's presence? I've often thought of Samson. And I really need to stick to my notes. It's not in my notes, but I've thought about Samson so many times that come to my mind again. That man knew what it was to feel the presence of God. He knew what it was for the anointing to come upon him. And for him to argue with a whore three different times and did not recognize what was going on. Come on, church. You and I both know there's been times in our life we have been so preoccupied with other things that we have failed to recognize God was trying to speak to us. I'm telling you, church, in this hour that we're living in, it's imperative that you get a relationship with God to where you are aware of His presence 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and don't forget the day of leap year. We have got to. I want to point out to you about the prophets of Baal and Elijah. At noon, Elijah began to shout to taunt them, and he said, surely he is a god. Perhaps he's into a deep sleep or busy traveling. Maybe he's sleeping and he must be awakened. So I want you to shout louder. And as they slashed themselves with swords and spears, it was their custom. That's what they normally done because they couldn't get their god to hear because he couldn't hear anyway until the blood flowed. And at midday, as it passed, they continued with their frantic prophesying until the time of the evening sacrifice. Yes, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, the devil can prophesy. But there was no response. There was no answer. No one paid attention. as Elijah was taunting the prophets of Baal, that perhaps their God was busy traveling or asleep somewhere. I'm afraid, church, that there is times, and it may be way too common among believers, that just because God doesn't answer right away, we think He's busy, He's unattentive to our prayers, or He's sleeping somewhere. That's not so. He is always present. If you don't listen to nothing else I say, I want you to listen to this, okay? I believe that God gave me this revelation so clearly. And I may have to repeat it two or three times. We must understand that God's presence is not something we create by our efforts, like the prophets of Baal was trying to do. They was trying to get their God to respond by what they was doing, by cutting themselves, by shouting louder. So we must understand that God's presence is not something we create by our efforts. He inhabits the praises of His people. Okay? Don't misunderstand me. He inhabits the praises of His people. We're to praise Him. We're to worship Him. Christ, His presence is God's gift to us, totally independent of what we do. I've shared with you, there's times that you may go out to a restaurant or you may go to the grocery store or something, and the people that's waiting on you probably do not in any way, shape, or form deserve a kind word or a tip after serving you. How many's ever been there? Okay? But usually it's those people, they need it the most at that time, because we don't know what they're going through. And I will tell you, there's times that I have deserved God's attention the least. That's when He's given it to me the most. Jesus' presence is God's gift to us, totally independent of what we do. God is already present when we get to church. He's with us when we're going down the road, and I've seen some of you drive, and I thank God that He is. And I've seen other people driving down the road. I wish God was with them. He's with us on our job. And the truth is, we're the ones that needs to wake up to His presence. Listen, church, listen closely. God does not show up when you get here. He's been here waiting on you. And I believe with all my heart, and this is what God spoke to me yesterday morning, I believe with all my heart that our worship would be more intense and we would have a deeper revelation of what God has for us if we could but grasp that He does what He does because of who He is, not because of what we do. Anybody with me? If you think about that, that'll get down around your fifth rib and you'll want to shout. Hey, hey, hey. He does what He does. Oh my. He does what He does because of who He is, not because of what you do. If that be the case, He'd send the lightning bolt and kill every one of us. He does what He does because of who He is. Oh, the mighty, mighty mercy and the grace of God. If we could get a hold of that in the midst of our praise and adoration to Him, can you imagine what God can do in this place? Because He's already here. It's hard to hear God speak or be aware of His presence when we're running like Jonah. It's hard to be underneath the juniper tree like Elijah. Or perhaps we become comfortable underneath the gourd vine like Jonah. Or we're sleeping in the bushes like the disciples. It's hard to be aware of the presence of God. I hope with everything that is within me today that you're paying attention to what the Spirit is saying. This is not Brother Mike. I felt God give me messages before, but this is in my gut, okay? In my spirit. And I hope you're paying attention, because I'm doing my best to reveal Jesus to you. I'm doing my dead level best to help you to cultivate an awareness of His presence. Where we are today, we must be aware of His presence. I want you to know, if you don't already, surely to goodness we can see that the spirit of the Antichrist is so present and active in our world today. And the plot to control your every move isn't coming, it's here. I heard somebody say, yeah, I knew you was going to get on that sooner or later. Well, I'm here. The virus is real. But the agenda behind it is set to control you. To instill fear. To create an atmosphere that causes you anxiety. It is creating fear so that you will put, listen, so you will put your trust in man instead of God. There is the spirit of Antichrist today that is trying its best, even among God's people, to instill fear and confusion within your mind and your spirit so that you will trust in man and not God. Do you hear me now? There is so much information and misinformation out there that I've heard almost everybody agree you don't know what to believe. And with all the many voices, it's hard to distinguish unless you have established an atmosphere of God's presence in your life. I'm here to tell you, church, you better do your research before you do anything. But most of all, you better seek the face of God and get in position yourself to where you can hear Jesus speak to you on what, where, when, or what you need to do or say at any given moment. Now, I know that's more difficult than listening to man and putting your confidence in them. But it's not near as valuable. You may disagree with me, but that's okay. I still love you. But we are being set up. All of a sudden, what used to be a common item to purchase is no longer available. And now, all of a sudden, there is a change shortage. Those people that tell me that, I want to look at them and tell them or ask them, you mean you have no sense? I'm here to tell you, we're living in crazy times. And it's a setup. The enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy. Do not forget what I'm telling you. God is not the author of confusion. And He has not come to give you a spirit of fear. I don't know about you. Some of you have, I know, in this place, have worked cattle in their time. And you've put them in a corral. Am I telling you guys right? You put them in a corral. You force them down a narrow alley to either brand them, give them a shot, cut off their horns, or put them in your freezer. I have watched cattle dogs work those cattle in the corral, nipping at their heels till they go where they want them to go, but the cows don't want to go. I'm asking you something right now. Is that not a true vision of what's happening to us today? Come on. I'm telling you, church, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind in 2 Timothy 1:7. Some of you need to write that down and go to it hourly, if not 3 or 4 times per hour, more than ever before. Listen, I want you to know right now, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. Okay, I never was very good at that. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I'm trying to come to you with the purest of heart and a heart that's heavy to let you know we've got to create an atmosphere. Did you know that the people in China have to find a place to worship the Lord and to read His Scripture? And did you know they dare not announce it? Hey, they dare not announce where. You know how they get there? The Spirit of the Lord tells them where to go. Oh, come on, church. Come on. What is it that we need to do to get to a place that the Spirit of the Lord is so present in our life that it can literally tell us where to go and what to do? More than ever before, we need to refuse and resist fear and confusion, because God is not the author of either one. I found this on some of my stuff, and I wished I had it to put on the board, but I don't. It's a picture of a big eagle, and it says, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it hates those who speak it." George Orwell. Can I say that again? The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 7. Now Samuel did not know the Lord yet, and the works of the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli again the third time. And he said, "Here am I, and did thou call me?" And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Finally, after 3 times, he was supposed to be the priest. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lay down, and it shall be. And if he calls you again, then thou shalt speak, 'Lord, here I am, your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and laid down his place. And the Lord came and stood and called him another times, "Samuel, Samuel." And then Samuel answered and spake, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Did you know you're in training today? Samuel was in training. And he didn't know or wasn't aware as of yet how to sense God's presence. And perhaps that's what you're dealing with. You don't exactly know how to hear His voice and sense His presence. But I want to help you today, to help you realize that it's through reading God's Word. It's through being silent and sitting somewhere quietly and letting God speak to you. And you don't sit there and say, "God, I don't hear a thing you're saying." Listen. Just sit in silence. The saddest thing about this story that I just read to you, that it took Eli 3 times to get a grip that God was speaking to this young man, and he's supposed to be mentoring him in the first place. So I ask you, what in the world was he doing? Can I also tell you, in these critical times, how many times will God speak before we respond? Are we talking to the donkey? Or preoccupied with our own will? Can I tell you today, church, He's here, and we must cultivate an awareness of His presence. Oh, I'm almost through. Give me just a few more minutes. All I like is finishing. It was David who was familiar and had an experience in running. I mean, he run the biggest part of his life just before he went to office. But yet, even then, he was aware of God's presence. Listen to what David said in Psalms 139. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and know me. Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my laying down and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, nor lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and hast laid Thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. And David said, But whither shall I go from Thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? If I ascend up into the heaven, Thou art there. Behold, if I make my bed in hell, behold, Thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even Thou shall Thy hand lead me and Thy right hand hold me. Church, get a hold of it. God is with you no matter where you're at or what you're doing. Moses sensed, while on the backside of the desert taking care of his father-in-law's sheep, he seen a bush that was on fire and was inquisitive enough to find out what was going on and experience God's presence. Take off your shoes, Moses. Hey, he was inquisitive enough to go see what was going on. Are we inquisitive enough of God's presence and God's Spirit that we get alone with Him and find out what He wants to tell us? What's the Lord saying to you? Are you listening? And as Moses knew his departure was close, he spoke to Joshua that he would be his predecessor. And he was to be strong and courageous in leading Israel. And in Joshua chapter 1, we see the Lord reaffirming the presence, His presence to Joshua, just like He was to Moses. For He said, Joshua, I was with Moses and I will be with you. Hey, as He was with His disciples, as He was with these men and women of the Bible, He will be with you. He'll never leave you, forsake you. You know why? Because His job's not finished. He's coming back. When Jesus was preparing to go into heaven, He gave a great commission to His disciples, declaring unto them, Surely I am with you always, even to the end of age. Matthew 28:20. And He's still with us. Again, because He hasn't finished His work. And that is to come back and get His bride. And there we will be with Him forever and forever. Listen, it ain't too far off. I said it ain't too far off. I'm hearing people more and more and more pray, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Lord Jesus, come quickly. There is a stirring in Israel. If you listen to the news or whatever, or just look up Israel, there's a stirring in Israel right now. We are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I said we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. How many knows what that is? There's only one peace that's coming to Jerusalem, and that's when the Prince of Peace comes back. We're to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We are praying for our redemption out of this world. Church, we must learn to listen. Chris, can you come to the piano, please? Church, we must learn to listen to Him. We must learn to be aware of His presence, no matter what we're doing. He tells us again and again in His Word that we're to listen. To every church in Revelation, every church in Asia, He said to them, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto that church. Can I tell you, folks, it is more critical today than it ever has been before that we grasp what Jesus is commanding in this message. Can I tell you, when He told the churches there in Asia, to him that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church, He was not making a suggestion. If you have some free time or we have nothing better to do, we might want to listen to Him, but instead He was speaking with urgency
that we must listen if we are to follow Him in obedience and grow in spiritual maturity. For we must cultivate an awareness of His presence.